The rain had not stopped since Pearl left the depot. It fell in a steady, drumming sheet that turned the streets of the tenement district into a slurry of coal dust and refuse. Pearl walked fast, her boots splashing through puddles that reflected the sickly yellow glow of the gas lamps. She kept her collar up, her hat pulled low, but the damp had seeped through her coat and settled in her bones. Her mind was a storm of its own. The knot, the name, the blood, Astrid Blackwell, the name tasted like ash in her mouth. She had spent 6 months dismantling Sela's Vane's operation, believing she was cleaning up the city's underworld. But Vane was a pawn, a blunt instrument. The real power lay elsewhere, in the gilded cages of Fifth Avenue, in the drawing rooms of widows who hosted charity galas and smiled while their enemies disappeared. Pearl turned down a narrow alley, the buildings pressing in on her, their brick facades stained with decades of soot and rain. She was looking for number 42, a narrow brick structure that leaned precariously over the sidewalk, as if trying to escape the street. The windows were dark, save for one on the ground floor where a faint, flickering light hinted at a single candle. She stopped in front of the door and knocked, three sharp raps. No answer. She knocked again harder, Elena. A pause, then the sound of a bolt sliding, heavy and slow. The door opened a crack, secured by a chain. A face appeared in the gap pail, with dark circles under her eyes and hair pulled back in a severe bun. Pearl, Elena whispered, you must go, they are watching. It's me, Elena, open the door. The pause stretched, the chain rattled, the door opened. Elena's basement apartment was exactly as Pearl remembered, cramped, damp, and smelling of boiled cabbage and wet wool. A single table dominated the center of the room, covered in scraps of fabric and sewing tools. Three children slept on pallets along the wall, bundled in blankets that looked too thin for the season. The air was thick with the humidity of drying laundry and the low, rhythmic breathing of the city's poor. Elena closed the door and locked it, then drew the blinds. She turned to Pearl, her hands trembling. You shouldn't be here, Elena said, her voice rapid, anxious. The men in gray coats. They were here yesterday, asking questions, about your father, about you. Pearl stepped inside, shaking the rain from her coat. I need your help, Elena. Elena laughed, a sharp, brittle sound. Help? What help can I give? I am a seamstress, not a detective. I stitch shirts for clerks and dresses for wives. I do not deal with murderers. This isn't about murder, Pearl said. She reached into her pocket and pulled out the small glass vial she had taken from her father's pocket. Inside was a fragment of the silk knot. It's about this. She held out the vial. Elena stared at it, her hazel eyes widening. She took a step forward, then stopped, as if afraid the silk might burn her. Where did you get that? Elena whispered. My father had it in his pocket, with the blood on it. Elena's breath hitched. She reached out, her fingers hovering over the vial. May I? Pearl nodded. Elena took the vial, her hands steady now, focused. She unscrewed the cap and tipped a single strand of the silk onto her palm. She held it up to the candlelight, examining the weave, the color, the sheen. Pearl watched her, her own curiosity piqued. She had examined the knot herself, counting the stitches, analyzing the tension. It was a masterwork, but she had not been able to identify the source. Elena rubbed the silk between her thumb and forefinger, her expression shifting from fear to something else, recognition and dread. This is not common silk, Elena said. This is. It is rare, imported from Como, Italy. Only the finest houses use it. And the color, she looked at Pearl, her eyes wide with fear. This shade of midnight blue, it is custom dyed. It is unique. Unique to whom? Elena hesitated. She glanced at the window, then back at Pearl. Only one person in New York buys this silk, only one household.
Who?
Elena's voice fractured into a sharp intake of breath. Blackwell, she rasped. Astrid Blackwell. Pearl felt a chill that had nothing to do with the damp. Astrid Blackwell. Yes, her husband was a silk merchant before he died. She keeps the trade running, but she is careful. She only imports this specific grade for her own garments, for her rituals.
Rituals?
Elena shook her head. I do not know, but I know that if the men in gray coats find you with this, they will not ask questions again. Pearl clutched the vial. The pieces were fitting together, sharp and dangerous. Her father had been close to Blackwell. The blood-written name made sense now. But why? Was he hunting her, or was he hunting for her? I need to know more, Pearl said. Did you work for Blackwell? Alina flinched. No, never, but my mother did, before she died. She spoke of this silk. She said it was cursed, that those who wore it, eventually, vanished. Pearl stared at her. Vanished. Yes, like your father. The words hung in the air, heavy and ominous. Pearl wanted to deny it, to tell Alina she was being foolish, but the image of her father's body on the steps rose in her mind. The blood, the knot, the name. Alina, Pearl said, her voice softening. My father is dead. I need to know why. This silk. It's the only lead I have. Help me. Alina looked at her, searching her face. Then she sighed, a long, weary sound. She sat down at the table and gestured for Pearl to join her. My mother worked for Astrid Blackwell for 10 years, Alina began, her voice dropping to a whisper. She was her personal seamstress. She made her gowns, her corsets, her linens, and she always wore this silk. Always. Ceremonies. Alina's hand went to her throat. She pressed her fingers against her skin as if checking for something that wasn't there. Her eyes dropped to the table, to the scattered threads and pins. She gathered them quickly, shoving them into a tin box with trembling hands. My mother, Alina said, her voice cracking, she kept a ledger. Not of money, of names, dozens of them. Women who came to the house with empty pockets and left with rings. Girls who came in crying and came out, changed, empty. She looked up at Pearl, her breath shallow. She said Astrid didn't buy people. She bought their silence, their loyalty, their breath. Alina's knuckles had gone white around the tin box. She set it down carefully, aligning its edges with the table grain, as though order might hold back whatever she was about to say. There were women who wore it on their wrists. Ribbons, my mother called them, but they weren't ribbons, they were contracts. She swallowed hard. When my mother died, I found one tucked inside her sewing kit. Hidden, she'd cut it into pieces and buried them in the garden. She said it was the only way to be free. Bindings, Alina said. Deals, promises. When Astrid wanted someone to be loyal to her, she would give them a piece of this silk, wrapped around their wrist or sewn into their clothing, and once they had it, they belonged to her until they died. Pearl thought of her father, the stroke, the internal bleeding, the coroner's report. Had he tried to cut himself free, or had the silk already done its work from the inside? And the knot, Pearl asked. Her voice sounded too loud in the small room. The silk knot in his pocket, what does it mean? Pearl looked at the frayed scrap beside the vial. Her father had carried both the knot and the silk to his grave, which meant he'd never gotten the chance to cut it loose. Alina nodded slowly. It means he owed her, a life debt. Those who owe her are bound to her, until they pay or until they die. She remembered her father's collapse, the sudden paralysis, the dark blood at the corner of his mouth, the coroner's sterile verdict. Had he finally settled his accounts, or was he attempting to slip the leash? And the knot, Pearl asked, that silk tie in his pocket, what's its significance? Alina's eyes widened. The knot, it is a signature, a master knot, it means the debt is active, unpaid. Pearl's mind raced. Her father had been bound to Blackwell, and the debt was unpaid, which meant he was still under her control, even in death. I have to go, Pearl said. Thank you, Alina. Alina grabbed her arm. Pearl, be careful, the man in the gray coat. He is not like the others. He does not speak. He does not hesitate. He simply removes. Pearl pulled away gently. I know. She turned to leave, but Alina stopped her. Wait, look at the knot again, the hidden loop. It is not just a marker. It is a binding, a promise. Pearl frowned. A promise. The words were not spoken so much as exhaled, a ragged breath that dissolved into the damp air before they could fully form. Pearl left the apartment, stepping back out into the rain. The street was empty, the gas lamps casting long, distorted shadows. She walked fast, her mind racing. The knot was a binding, a promise to the syndicate, and her father had been part of it. As she turned the corner onto Orchard Street, she saw him. At the end of the block, standing beneath a gas lamp that flickered and died, was a figure in a gray coat. He did not move. He did not reach for a weapon. He simply stood, watching her with eyes that were gray and empty. Pearl froze, the man in the gray coat. He raised a hand, not in greeting, but in a slow, deliberate wave. Then he turned and disappeared into the darkness. Pearl exhaled, her breath shuddering in her chest. He was not here to kill her, not yet. He was here to remind her. She quickened her pace, her hand tightening around the vial in her pocket. She had to get home. She had to think, and she had to be ready. The truth was coming, and it would kill her.